I have absolutely no idea what's going on today, but I got that funny feeling, you know. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you. Good to be together, isn't it? And I trust you all had a lovely Christmas and a blessed time. So praise the Lord. Amen. Let me hear you say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Lovely. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Father, we commit to you the preaching of your word. We pray together, Lord, that as we share your word, it will become life and strength to us as we worship you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just a couple of verses. I want to speak today, just very briefly, about the power of a thankful heart. And verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "Rejoice always." Verse 17, "Pray continually." Verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, from one end of the Bible to the other, we are commanded to be thankful. Did you know that? In fact, thankfulness is the natural outflowing of a heart that's attuned to God. In Psalm 147, the psalmist declared, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." That's what we've been doing this morning. And Paul wrote in Colossians, "Always be thankful." Do you know that a spirit of thankfulness is always the mark of a joyous Christian? Why should we be thankful? Well, it seems obvious, doesn't it? Because God has blessed us, and we should be thankful for each blessing. There are hundreds of verses in Scripture that deal with giving thanks and praise to God. To give you a rough idea, the King James Version, the word thank is used a total of 26 times in the New Testament. The word thanks is used 73 times in 71 verses. The word thanksgiving is used 28 times in 27 verses. And the word thankful is used 3 times in 3 verses. So it's no surprise that we're commanded to be a thankful people. The word "give thanks" is translated from what is called an imperative Greek word, eucharisto. It's where we get our word Eucharist from. The communion service, it's made up of two parts, the word "you," meaning an inner feeling of overwhelming gratitude or thankfulness, and the word charis, which, as you know, is the Greek word for grace. You put the two together and you have Eucharisto. So when you put those two together, it's kind of a commandment to have a graceful, thankful attitude. Now, we all know what attitude is, don't we? If any of us have had teenagers, we all know what attitude is. Attitude is that disease that inflicts teenagers when they're young. Now, we all know about attitude. It's almost contagious that teenagers develop at a certain age. And it displays itself in language, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? If you've ever had a teenager or you know a teenager, the language of teenage is different to us, isn't it? You know, one of the things they say is, "Am I bothered?" Have you heard that?
Yeah.
You know, and they, "Am I bothered?" The other one is, "Speak to the hand, the face ain't listening." Have you heard that? And I've got some quotes that I'd like just to put up on the screen this morning. Ray's going to put them up. And they're quite interesting. And the first one is, "Welcome to being a parent of a teenager. Prepare for a large amount of eye-rolling, emotional outbursts, and thoughts of running away, and that's just the parents." Let's have another one, Ray. "I sleep too much, parents complain. I don't get enough sleep, parents complain. I eat too much, parents complain. I don't eat enough, parents complain. I'm always in my room, parents complain. I can't get out much, parents complain. I can't win." That's what they say. Let's have another one, Ray. "Teenagers are the most misunderstood people on the planet. They are treated like children and expected to act like adults." Isn't it true? And let's have one more, Ray. "To an adolescent, there is nothing in the world more embarrassing than a parent." I remember, you know, that When my sons were little and I used to drive them to school, they asked me to drop them round the corner because they were ashamed of the car I drove and stuff like that, you know. Let's have one more, Ray. I'm enjoying this. A teenager is always too tired to hold a dishcloth, but never too tired to hold a phone. You know? Can you imagine, you know, the most important thing in a teenager's life is what? It's the phone, isn't it? But can you imagine years ago, there are loads of us here this morning that lived our lives without a mobile phone. But we panic if we leave the house, oh, I've left my phone behind, don't we? And the stuff we carry on our phones, you know, there's recipes, photographs, messages, letters, all sorts of things. Imagine in the old days what we'd have had to have done to take all that lot with us. We'd have got to the car, oh, I've forgotten the 26 photo albums. Oh, I've forgotten the 184 letters and messages, you know. It wouldn't have been able to have been done, would it? But attitude. But you know, as Christians, we should have the right attitude. The what, sorry? Had a bigger bag, as Sean says, absolutely. And Eucharisto, means to have a good and thankful attitude. It's where we get our word Eucharist, the communion service, from. I received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, Eucharisto, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. It means to be thankful. So, since Scripture talks so much about thankfulness, it's without doubt something that's very important, I believe, to all of us. I've got three very quick things I want to say to you. We should espouse a thankful heart. What does espouse mean? I looked in the dictionary. It says to adopt or support a belief, a way of life. Thankfulness for the Christian should be a way of life, shouldn't it? When we espouse thankfulness, we are adopting thankfulness as a way of life as followers of Jesus. It's really unfortunate that in our present day we live in a society where thankfulness is rare. Let's be honest, friends, this morning. We're a nation of moaners, aren't we? You watch the news, there's nothing good on the news. You watch the news, there's always something bad happening. There's always something to criticize. And I believe it's a characteristic of modern society that as a direct consequence of materialism and affluence, people, no matter how much they have, never seem to be satisfied. Isn't that right? It would seem to me that the more we have, the more we want, and the more we have, the less happy we are with our lot. We never seem to be satisfied with what we have. But what a difference it makes when we realize that everything we have has been given by God. What a difference that makes. David prayed, wealth and honor come from you. We give thanks to you and your glorious name. Everything comes from you, O Lord. Do you know that ingratitude is a mark of sin and a mark of unbelief? Let me remind you what Paul says in the opening chapter of Romans, when he's talking about the unbelieving world who will not accept God, even though God's power in creation is clearly seen. If you read Romans 1, it's all here. Verse 18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Verse 21 of Romans 1. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of thanking and worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. An unthankful heart is a sign of unbelief. I've no doubt about it. And a thankful heart is a sign of faith and praise to God. We should espouse thankfulness, friends, because God's command tells us to be thankful. In 1 Chronicles 16, that wonderful story about King David commissioning the Ark of the Covenant after it had been successfully moved and housed in a tent in Jerusalem, he gave the people an order. He says in 1 Chronicles 16, "Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known among the nations what he has done." The passage in the Bible is known as David's Psalm of Thanksgiving. And at the end, he concludes the psalm by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations." Why? "That we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise." Everything that God has for us should cause us to thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give thanks to God for all he has done, but not only that, for all that he is to us. We adopt and espouse a way of life of thanksgiving to God. We reject all negative and measly thoughts of ingratitude. And we begin to practice what the Apostle Paul exhorts us to do that we read earlier. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. How important are those words to us? "For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." You know, it's God's will for you to be thankful. If you talk about the will of God and knowing the will of God, one of the first principles of the will of God is to be thankful. This is the will of God, the Bible says. Do you notice that Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances? He says give thanks in all circumstances. Not all our circumstances are good. There will be always something in our circumstances that is not very nice, but nevertheless we are commanded to give thanks in them. Why is it God's will that we be thankful in all circumstances? Being thankful allows us to see the blessings in spite of the hardships. Do you know that? And that leads me to my second point. We should not only espouse thankfulness, we should experience thankfulness. We will be able to endure and persevere through anything if we can be thankful, even in the trying times of our lives. This is why we can be joyful always. Having an attitude of thankfulness in any circumstance allows us to be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances means I see things in the perspective that God wants me to see them, not in the perspective that man wants to see them. Being thankful in all circumstances means me seeing the positives when I do, and I'm able to put things in perspective. When we're thankful in all circumstances, we're content. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Pray continually." Or as the New Living Translation says, "Never stop praying." This too is included in being thankful. And the same spiritual truth he repeats, doesn't he? In Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Someone once said, "It's impossible to be anxious and thankful at the same time." A lot of truth in that. If we go to the Lord with thanksgiving, then our prayers will be in an attitude of reverence and humility rather than in an attitude of selfishness and pride. It'll be praying continually, not because I always want something from God, but because I'm blessed already. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for what I've already received, for what God has already done to me and for me. And we see this through many experiences, don't we? We see Paul and Silas in prison singing praises to God at midnight. We see Hannah in the temple, even though she was barren, but soon she was to have a son, Samuel. We see Daniel in the lion's den, trusting God, and the lions never laid a paw on him. The Bible says not a scratch was found on him. I love that. Hezekiah was a man who sought the Lord and did right, leading the nation back into the service of the Lord in the midst of idolatry and perverseness of the people. And though he was not perfect, Hezekiah's life stands out as one of the few righteous men in the midst of an ungodly line of kings. And in the midst of ungodliness that is so prevalent in our nation today, do we follow the Lord wholeheartedly and point others to know him and to give him thanks as well, like Hezekiah did? And I love the story in Daniel chapter 3 when those three young men got tied up and thrown into the blazing furnace. But they got unbound because Jesus was in there walking with them. Hallelujah. I see a fourth, like one of the Son of Man, the Bible says. They said to one another, oh, isn't it warm and cozy in here? And you know, the Bible says that not even their hair was singed. I'd have been good in there, wouldn't I? And their clothes didn't even smell smoky, the Bible says. It goes into such detail. Do you know, when Jesus is around, people get free, don't they? Hallelujah. When Jesus comes in the midst of us, people kind of loosen up and get free. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. You see, friends, being thankful is about being an overcomer. Being thankful is about being victorious. Thankful Christians are the Christians who are experiencing the overcoming power of God in their lives. Thankful Christians are Christians who are living in victory and not in defeat. Thankful Christians are the ones who raise their voices in praise and worship to God. Friends, there is power in thanking God. Hallelujah. I want to say one final thing. When I was a small boy, many, many years ago, my mother taught me from an early age to say thank you. But she did this in a certain way. Perhaps your mum did the same for you. She used to say to me, what do you say? Anybody else had that? And it was like a trigger. And when someone gave me something, and my mum would say, what do you say? Thank you. It was kind of something that immediately prompted me to say thank you. But you know, God loves to hear his children say thank you, doesn't he? And we express our thankfulness in three ways. We express it by our appreciation of him, by our adoration of him, and there's no doubt in my mind too that a thankful heart is an evidence of a spirit-filled life. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life, Ephesians 5 says. But instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music in your hearts to the Lord. And sometimes we forget the next verse, but verse 20 says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse in the NIV, which is a little bit different in the King James Version, in the King James Version it says, singing to yourselves, which kind of you can misunderstand that you're to do it on your own. But the proper translation is brought out in the NIV for us, singing among yourselves. I wonder how many people this morning could be creative and just sing to the next one sitting next to them. Just sing, God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Come on then. Singing to yourselves, singing among yourselves. God bless you. What a joy it is to worship and to praise his name. Thank you, Beth. We've had enough. Don't overdo it. Praise the Lord. We love you, Beth, very much. Here, I'm going to close, but here are my five favorite ways of applying thankfulness. Number one, set time aside each day to make a list of what you are thankful for. Start with the tiniest of details and write down even just one thing. On days when you're feeling empty or just wanting an excuse to smile, go back and read the list yesterday or the day before. You'll be amazed how it affects you. Tell other people thank you when they do something kind for you, no matter how small the deed. Appreciate one another, love one another, be kind to one another. I appreciate every one of you, do you know that? I have known you and loved you, and you have been my friends, and you still will be. And I appreciate every one of you in the Lord. And I want to say to everyone today, thank you. Thank you for anything you have done here in this place for God. Thank you for anything you have done for me. Your support, your love, your kindness. Thank you in Jesus' name. Number three, don't allow other people's bitterness and negativity or any other outward circumstance to influence your inner peace. Look for the best in everyone and believe and say the best about them. There are people in life that are going to fail us. There are people in life that are not going to come up to what we think they should be. But don't allow any negativity to envelop you. In spite of that, thank God for them. Be positive. Number four, anger, disappointment, failure, and frustration are all parts of life. But don't let them become your default emotions. Don't be complacent and resign yourself to victimhood. Don't be a victim. Get rid of victimhood from your life. Be an overcomer. Don't think of yourself as a victim. Think of yourself as a conqueror. Because that's how God wants you to think of yourself. Choosing to live from a place of gratitude brings peace and power. And finally, build gratitude around you in others with small, daily, unexpected, undeserved acts of love, compassion, kindness, and forgiveness of others. When was the last time you blessed somebody? When was the last time you blessed somebody? I want us to stand. And on your seat, there is a bookmark which we have prepared specially for today. And you might like to keep this in your Bibles for the coming year. And I want us to say this prayer. It's a prayer. Let us stand. It's a prayer. And I'd like us to pray it together. It's the prayer for a thankful heart. And you can take these home. Just pop them in your Bibles and remember, perhaps if God has spoken to you this morning. Lord, teach me to offer you a heart of thanksgiving and praise in all my daily experiences of life. Teach me to be joyful always and to give thanks in all circumstances. I long to bring pleasure to your heart daily. Break the power of the enemy in my life. Defeat him through my sacrifice of praise. Change my outlook and attitude into one of joyful contentment with my present circumstances. Jesus, I want to be like you who obeyed the Father without complaint. Give me your attitude of humility and thankful acceptance. I choose to continually offer you a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that gives praise to your name. Teach me the power of a thankful heart. I know that your truth dwells in the thankful heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Trevor. Thankfulness. It's time for us now to actually say thank you to Trevor for all that he's given us over the last 5 years. You know, many people won't know that Trevor was just an ordinary member of the congregation, just an ordinary Common Our Garden ex-bishop. When when Terry Wanita decided to step back and they wanted someone just to take over the reins, just for a little while. Just for a little while, Trevor. Just for 5 years on, he's still here. Bless him, and he's done so much for the church, and so many people are so thankful. Now, quite a lot of people have said they want to give thanks to Trevor and express their appreciation of what he's done. Ray, have you got that clip, please? And so we just have a little video clip of people saying to you, Trevor, what a great bloke you are.